You're listening to The Questing Network. The House of Eves.
Previously on The House of Eves, a team of adventurers has been hired by a group of workers at the Seasonal Pavilion, a group of season-themed haunted houses, to investigate the frightening problems besetting them, ironically, in the series of haunted houses. On the autumn island of Copia, after a swift arrival via a ship crashing into a dock and a skeletal carriage ride, the team convened, met the representative, the ghost Mandibel, one of the workers of the haunted house, and set to work interviewing the haunted house workers and their manager, Arsene Farinaither. The adventurers quickly determined the timeline of events, and that Arsene was avoiding the truth, and investigated the grounds of the four seasonal haunted houses, discovering through magical insight that the missing undead actor, the skeleton barracks, had been sucked under the winter haunted house, the House of Freeze. With courage and with a cardboard lightning spell, they entered a heretofore unknown basement beneath all four haunted houses, held up by old wooded neves and filled with hazardous walkways and rope bridges. There they discovered a sundered skeletal barracks, with the healer Bessemer patched up enough to be carried. Walking on platforms over the coursing dark liquid below, the adventurers made their way to an orange door guided by a living flickering flame, leading them into the House of Breeze, the autumn haunted house. Inside, they encountered unreliable architecture, a steel door opening onto a flood of water, stairwells leading into pure darkness, and another flame, which Bessemer befriended. Fasole, the demon knight, used powers to pin down a promise by the clearly living structure, opening a dirt stairwell back into the exterior pavilion and short-circuiting its monkey paw shenanigans. Hirsute the skeleton completed the rescue of Beric and bade Beric's farewell to find outside help by flinging him onto the lawn before returning to the flooded house. Bessemer cast a spell to explore the interior mind of the clearly living house, encountering a door flooded by the same dark liquid that coursed underneath the lower chamber. She began the process of connecting to and healing this liquid scar portal, and heard in the dark below a malicious and dramatic shriek that they were ruining everything! DCI Beans, the skunk investigator, a naturalist, and Fasole rescued Ixpenine, the talking foley fox from the haunted house's attic, preventing him from being overtaken by sonic ectoplasm, with the clever use of a synesthetic spell, who Horsuit then bundled outside to rescue as well. The party is now reunited, the haunted house actors rescued, and having clearly stuck a nerve with someone or something within the house, have decided to continue onward to find out the root of what has been going on. Dun 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 dun. So let's see. So at the moment, DCI Beans and Fasole Getsaruna are clopping their way down, or I guess skittering and clopping their way back down from the attic level after rescuing Ixpenine. Bessemer has concluded her brain candle spell, having used acoustic mental magic to start the process of healing whatever strange scar is affecting the house. It clearly had some positive effect, and then something within the house had a decidedly negative verbal reaction to it. But you are coming at the moment out of your meditative spell, and then also coming up from the bottom level, feet soaking wet from the partially flooded main area after you had opened a steel portal onto what seemed to be a large volume of water. Hirsut is making his way up onto the landing to meet the rest of you.
So, what have we learned? We're in a house, haunted.
It seems to attempt to absorb people into the foundation.
Right, that's not good.
The house is a person, and there are many psychological things about the person which Bessemer has learned, which, are we allowed to learn those due to doctor-patient confidentiality?
No, I feel like, as far as confidentiality goes in this situation, we're a part of a team. So I'd say as we congregate, there's going to be an amount of sharing.
Does that mean I'm also a doctor?
No, that does not mean you're also a doctor.
I think you're more of like a nurse or like the tech.
Ah, the noble
or
nurse.
Or like someone standing near the doctor.
The tech, yes.
It's not... You don't necessarily have to be in the middle.
The technician, yes.
The person, when you say scalpel, who brings the scalpel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, the sword master. The sword master is a very important part of every clinic.
And the person who wipes your disgusting sweat away from your disgusting skin.
The filth master, yes. The sword master and filth master also train for many...
You forgot I have no skin.
Well, okay, so we've covered a lot of ground.
What was that face?
Also disgust. Disgust and confusion. One of the fundamental skunk emotions.
Do we feel like we want to talk to this house, challenge this house, maybe seduce this house? I'm just using verbs. You can just pick a verb,
house,
you know.
Help this house, assist this. We could use anything that has like a positive.
Screw the house, love the house, marry the house.
I think our job here is actually done. I know this is episode 3 of 4.
He said metagaming.
But I think our job is actually done. We saved the people. We found out the house is evil or malicious, which doesn't necessarily mean evil.
It's evil or malicious when I described this to you. So that, no, I don't think we found that out, actually.
I feel like the what it was doing to the actor and to the fox were malicious.
What does the fox say about it?
That it wasn't having a good time, if I remember correctly.
I think that's all 3 times we've gotten that now.
Yeah. One more to go.
Welcome.
It did cut a guy in half.
Right. That's clearly murder. We should arrest the house.
I don't think that anyone who's ever ripped a guy in half has done it because they were feeling well at the time.
I mean, what about that time? I don't know, actually.
We gotta yeah, hold exactly.
Like, turning to myself, who turns back to your suit.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, but okay. We're pretty good, actually.
So, I hear one vote from her suit to just leave, which is, you know, there's funnel cake, there's booze, there is a forest full of wild berries and rotting meat, all the delectable things that people would expect at a fair. I hear one vote from Bessemer Neversing to heal the house. Bessemer, do you have an idea of how to do this? We have with us a nurse and a filth master or sword master, I think.
Filth master.
Filth master, okay. Not a nurse.
I despise sword.
Right.
In response, Bessemer drops her head, looks down, then looks up and says, "I do." And snaps.
I'm crossing my arms.
And then, clearly the group gets it, because everyone seems to want to snap along with me. So
I can't snap my paws.
No. You're trying.
I refuse.
And we start a song, and I start singing. So I make them do percussion, and then there's music.
Okay, I'm going to need you to actually start singing.
Yeah, right.
Okay, all right.
Do we each suddenly have, like, magically have instruments?
Ooh, that would be fun. We're... But I think right now it's the magic of the theater. So we're pretending that we have instruments. I kind of chaotically, and with no real melody, go... How are you? And then we wait to see if the house answers us.
Could you be chill?
I was excellent. Like, that as an addition.
2 people singing, that's a spring spell.
So I don't have access to spring magic, do I?
Oh yeah, I am forbidden from spring magic.
That's right.
Oh, so wait, what happened now that you're accidentally making music?
Well, you can still participate in it. You can't cast it yourself, but anybody can participate in a group spring spell.
Are you actually using a spell?
Or were you simply singing?
I'm just singing.
I
thought you were just singing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'm singing. I have
never mind.
The house has responded in an auditory capacity.
Right.
On repeat. But we've never done it like not in a intense moments. Now I'm just singing and seeing what happens.
So this is like the Close Encounters, like do 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 do, but you're doing like what you think the house would want to hear.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, like a theater show tunes. Beans is not helpful, but Wythe the player respects and likes this decision a lot.
Yeah, and Fazoli is just harmonizing with Hirsute.
Ooh.
Can you be chill?
Yeah, can you be chill? Can you be chill?
Stop being an asshole.
And I think after her note ends, she just quietly goes, be chill, be chill, be chill. She just like adds some little background flavor to whatever you guys did.
Do we hear a response?
There is a pregnant pause. And you hear somewhere, you know, some water off of a shingle is dripping. Like there's a slight breeze from, you know, somewhere outside. You hear the house creaking and creaking. And then the floor starts vibrating. And then we decided there were spindles, right? They're called spindles. The spindles along the landing of the second floor start shaking a little bit. And it's not like, and then the whole house starts sort of rumbling a little bit. Rumble, rumble, rumble. And for some reason, you all, without a roll, can tell that it is not your typical haunted house. You know, oh, this is a jump scare. This is an angry thing. The house itself is responding in an ambiguous way. So the message is received. How it's communicating beyond rumbling at the moment seems vague, but a line of communication has been established.
Excellent.
So, Bessemer, during your travels, you had met a flickering flame,
yes,
which had guided at the orange door and then again on the landing. You had in your practice of healing, the flame had then decided that you were not a danger and had started moving towards you. With all of you grouped together now, the flame itself is starting to move from its area closer to you, and then almost like, I don't know how a flame would look around, but it seems to be taking in the whole party. And in taking in the whole party, tries to find an area that's sort of equidistant from all of you, and then starts moving down the landing. The spiral staircase, the sort of black stained wood, and the elegant spiral staircase, it is slowly moving down.
I start moving.
I also start moving, following it, chasing after it in a playful way.
So as you're walking down the stairwell, as I've been mentioned before, the first floor to the landing to the second floor, something happens to space in between the two. It seems, for instance, when you got into the third floor, it appeared much higher up on a much longer stairwell. And then going down also seems to be a much farther depth than should be possible just being a floor in between floors. And so in this very dark space on this spiral staircase, you are following this flickering flame down, and it becomes increasingly dark. And you are finding that you are not descending into the main area that you were in before, but you are descending into some other room. While you were up there, it had perhaps swapped out the room below, or perhaps this is the true form of the room. It's hard to say. But as you're getting closer, instead of a rumbling, you're hearing a clacking sound. And the flame starts flickering, and it is flickering in time with that clacking. And then the flame moves behind some kind of scrim at the very base of the stairwell.
We're in a castanet room.
Dun, 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 dun. The flickering and the clacking seem to be moving in time. And behind this scrim, suddenly the flickering of an image starts to form, almost like it is coming in and out of focus. It is a screen with a flickering image on it. And the image that is projected onto the scrim, which is quite wide and quite tall, the light is struggling to get itself bright enough to make this happen, but the room is so dark. Once you adjust to it, it is showing the image of a house. And that house is much larger than any of the pavilion houses, which are deliberately quite charming and, you know, quite navigable by people. It is showing a dim and flickering image of a house that is quite grand and quite old. The image has got very poor resolution, now that you would know what the word resolution is. It is a little bit more something in between a very, very, very old film and a magic lantern. The film is not in black and white. It is in orange and blue. And the movie, I suppose it could be called, as it is a moving picture, of this house starts to rotate. Like there is somebody walking around the view of this house, and that view is moving towards the opening. The door opens up inside this grand house, and inside is a great grand ballroom, a great grand entrance hallway with a beautiful black spiral staircase similar to the one in the House of Breeze. In fact, the entire room itself, as you can barely make out with this admittedly not very good quality flickering image, seems to be a much grander and much more realistic version of the House of Eves itself. There are very tall paintings of sinister-looking figures high up on a landing, and there is one great staircase spiraling out from dark green wooden floors. The view of this screen then moves forward and forward, and a door opens up. And in, out of that door, walks a woman with, a very tall woman with very fiery red hair. It is Arsene Farinither, the manager of the haunted houses. And she's talking to somebody. You can't quite make out who she's talking to, but it is a very tall figure, cloaked in a handsome great coat of some kind with a shawl. And then it suddenly switches from this image to all black. And there are words that appear on the screen in quotation marks. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be in a language that you know. They are very scary, black and white cryptic images. It is trying to say something of what they're saying, but you cannot read it. And then it switches back to the view of these two people, Arsene Farinither and this very tall person in this sumptuous cloak, and they shake hands, and the image fades to black.
All right, so when you said it's like, instead of black and white, it's orange and blue, do you mean like night vision goggles, but you change the spectrum to be between orange and blue?
It's more like, it's a little like that. It's also a little like an old black and white film, but instead of being black and white, it's orange and blue. But it does have that sort of feeling of it not just being a film, which is, it's not likely, unless any of you know somebody who's Reggie or Rivsino, one of the few movies that exist in Season's Keep. This was a very enchanting, sort of flickering, moving picture of some sort. What a really fantastic looking pantomime of either magic or non-magical origin. But there was something very similar to what you're just saying. It seems that somebody was seeing this happening. Like this was from somebody's point of view.
It's like a movie of their vision.
It's a movie of their vision. That's a perfect way to put it.
By the flame. By the Mets colored flame.
By the Mets colored flame. I would have also accepted New York Knicks. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Flame.
Yes.
What a beautiful shadow puppet show.
Please come back so I can chase you adorably in a circle, as detectives always do when investigating crimes.
That is how detective work works. So out from behind that scrim comes the flame, very flickering and very hesitant. And it goes back from flickering back to its constant candle-like flame state. Moves back towards the group and seems very, very shy suddenly.
Oh. I cut my little hands. I want to give it a hug. I say, you've done well.
So, Flame, are you capable of communicating with us? If so, do something playful and fun.
Can you stop flirting with the flame, actually?
It's mesmerizing.
The flame spins around in a circle very, very fast to make a ring of fire. Unless we say love is a burning flame. And it makes a fiery rain. And then it pieces itself down onto the floor. And it grows into a very bright column, a very incandescent bright column. And as it gets taller, it is trying to get as tall as DCI Beans, the skunk investigator. And then it is stretching and stretching and trying to become as tall as her suit. Looks over at Fasole and then is trying to stretch wider and broader like his armored shoulders. It is trying to make some sort of visual version of, well, like a person. And is stretching out farther, and as it's doing so, is getting brighter and brighter, and is too bright to look at.
Fasole very gingerly takes off his helmet and offers it to the flame to put on, to maybe to dim it a little bit.
the flame, the helmet puts directly onto the flame, which is supported by it. And suddenly there is a high contrast image. There is the dark helmet lit by whatever shape the frontispiece of the helmet is in, light streaming out of it, and flames are coming to the sides.
Are there little flame horns coming out of the horn holes?
I think if he's trying to mimic you, then absolutely. So this this flame is a particular variant of demon folk called an imp. That you would be familiar with imps coming from the hierarchy of demonhood. They are not specifically demons in the sense that they don't, you know, they're not card carrying members of an organization. They don't pay taxes, but occasionally, if allowed, they will suffer to be summoned by people to aid them in whatever they are doing. And so this imp is made out of living flame. It's kind of too bright, like obnoxiously bright to look at, but at the very least now at head level, there's a little bit of a diminishment and it has created sort of a mimicked person form. And it starts to wobble in a very grotesque way, like it's trying to make the visual of walking as it starts lurching and moving with this clanking helmet towards the darkness of this new room. Towards a very, very dark hallway, which it is now lighting up the sides of. And you can see, because of its bright shape and its bright, resplendent new form, that the walls are rotted and decayed and the wallpaper is peeling and there is a dark liquid that is dripping from the areas and the wallpaper is clearly quite old and the flooring is rotted and gross, but it is motioning you to go onward with it.
Can we roll, I guess, either will or reason to see, does this seem dangerous, like this thing is tricking us, or...
I don't really care.
I mean, I don't really care, but I feel like...
Yeah, what is the skeptical investigator on Naturalist decide? Yeah.
Is it possible to roll just like, what is going on? A demon is leading us into the unknown. Seems like weird.
Now that you're... Yeah, I feel like now that it is more of a... Like, it is making human-like motions, it is something like you can use your keen instincts and judge of character to determine or attempt to determine what is...
So, Ethan, am I rolling will or reason to, like, induce things from facts I've gleaned by...
I think you will be using reason for this one.
Okay. I got a one.
Boy, what a flame. What a spectacle. He thinks he's people. It's really great.
Oh, look at what it does with its little flame toes.
It's little flames.
Flame toes.
Is there a way to track the... One of you who aren't bored by magic, such as I, to identify the summoner of the imp?
Oh.
That's a really good question. I mean, best way to do it. Beans does not say that. Beans is just chasing the flame.
Well, I said it.
In watching DCI Beans try to decide to make sure that things are okay and be categorically prevented in doing so by his skunkedness and needing to play with this flame, it occurs to me that I can't just do things the way that I would do them when I'm with a group. So I can't just go, oh, I don't believe in anything positive or negative. I'm just going. I realize that the well-being of others matters. And this causes me to take pause for just a moment. And it occurs to me that exactly, we should probably see if we can figure out who has summoned the imp. And I feel like Bixby can help with this. So I reach into my knapsack and I pull out a paper towel roll.
So this paper towel roll is an object from the regular world, from Earth, a strange artifact from a place with a bizarre industrial economy that makes things that are entirely disposable. But this particular roll of toilet paper, or this roll of paper towel, is not disposable. This is Bixby, a small animatic, a small imp-like creature who spends most of its time, according to, I think, the sheet, cowering in Bessemer's knapsack. But at this moment in time, comes out. It doesn't have a face, but it does seem to have a creepy little paper towel-like mouth, little limbs, And it's not cartoon, which makes it much, much more creepy.
The mouth, I assume, is like a little horizontal perforation.
Yeah, like a little, just like, and it, you know, it looks, it sort of like, it turns, you can see cylindrically, it looks around and it says, I don't like it in here, miss.
I know, love. I know. It's a bit scary, isn't it?
I don't like it. I was organizing your knapsack. Is there anything? What can I help with? I've got to get back to organizing
that's
it.
That's so nice. I really appreciate that from you. Thank you.
You know, it's a thing to do, you know, idle hands and all that.
This is really unsettling, brother.
I'm just going with the flow, brother.
I just, this seems super fucked up. I don't know what the relationship is, but I don't like it.
I don't want to know either, but I think we're going to find out.
It seems like a can I have some treats, mother type shit, and I don't like it.
Yes, you know, I think if it says can I have some treats, mother, we should probably
intervene in some way, a paper towel intervention.
Do you see that large walking bit of fire up there?
Oh, the one flailing around randomly,
yeah.
Walking and bashing around. Oh, yeah. I see him.
Excellent, love. Do you? I think it'd be important to know who brought this particular blaze into our lives. Do you have any ideas?
I can attempt it.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that. Thank you. You're so good.
Have we seen Bixie before, the other characters, or is this a new magical familiar?
Yeah, this is a small familiar. With a very, very small amount of grit and a couple of little abilities that's been sort of keyed up. So first off, Bixby looks around the group. Is anybody here a naturalist?
Yes, that is what I am, technically.
There's a bit of a thing called, it's a demon recall. It's a spell. I can't quite do it myself, but I can do a little bit of jiggery. And I can look up essentially the index of other summons. Shouldn't be too many in a very small area. I can just sort of localize it.
You want me to cast Demon Recall for you?
I can assist you. I can lend you some grit on this one. Which is a word that I don't know, grit, but like... I can lend you a hand on this one. Certainly.
I'm almost out of grit anyway, so that would be great. I know how to summon demons. That's something every police officer knows. It's one of the first things you learn as a reeve or bailiff in a medieval society is how to summon and abjure demons. So I will do this, but I am feeling peckish, tired, horny, things that skunks feel. So if you can help me...
The basic hierarchy of needs, yes, I understand.
Right,
a bit.
Right.
I've been learning about these.
It's a five.
It's a five, so it's a five.
So I only have four grit.
Okay, so Bixby is going to lend you four grit. That's going to basically aid this with a spring spell.
So I end up with three in the end.
You end up with three in the end.
Great.
If you would like to do it, you don't have to. You know.
I just did it. I am rolling charm to intimidate a demon. I got a five.
You are in luck. This demon rolled a three.
I use my cop powers to command the demon to obey the law, which demons must do, being law-like creatures.
So Bixby, who now looks visibly very tired, sort of lends you this, and the flame turns around a little bit, is a little bit wobbly, is a little bit wired, is a little bit odd. There's a flame jet that comes out of it, just like a column of flame, and then out of that, flickering from the side down, almost like it's been tossed behind it, is a little piece of charred paper, and on that charred paper is something written in the same weird glyphs and letters that you saw in the movie. However, it's something that Fasole would be able to read because it is written in demon shorthand.
Oh, great! What does it say in demon shorthand?
It says house. It says house Eves.
Oh, that's where we are.
Yeah, this particular imp was summoned by the house itself. So if there were any questions as to whether the house is you know, alive or sentient at this point, only a sentient person could do this sort of summon.
House, you wanted the imp here to do a movie for us so we could watch the union actor person talk to someone.
Yeah, that seems
pretty much.
There's sort of like a shaking, like a really eerie nodding of the house.
So do you need us to kill the tall guy and you'll stop being all uber chill? Or do you want us to like tell the woman that you love her? Like,
or are you the tall guy?
Oh, the flame goes, no, 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 not the tall. So it stops behind the scream again. And it started like it makes like a little shadow play of a person. Like it's playing 20 questions or something with you with it.
Do we recognize the silhouette at all?
It is, it's trying. It is made a woman, a tall woman with flame red hair. You know, just the sort of outline of it, and the hair is actually, you know, flamed and fiery, because this is a fire making it.
So the red-haired woman.
Arson.
Indeed, arson. Yes, flame, have we got it? Flash once for yes, two for no.
It flicks out, and when it flicks out to do the flashing, the entire room goes dark, and then flicks it back on again.
Is there something you'd like to happen?
It thinks, and it sort of like it flickers to say yes again, and the house goes completely dark as it does it, and comes back around. The image has changed not after yes, and it is saying it is trying to make the shape in silhouette of the cloaked figure.
Do you know who the cloaked figure is?
It clicks back off again and back on.
Okay.
Total darkness, and then back again. It does.
And you'd like us to interact with them in some capacity?
Flickers back off in total darkness and flickers back on again. The light is a little dimmer than it was before. This whole area is a lot dimmer. You know, your eyes have adjusted to it, so maybe you didn't quite notice until now.
Fazoli hopefully retrieves his helmet so it can be brighter.
Yeah.
He puts it on and it's way too hot.
Okay, so where are they?
It forms a vague sort of flame-like arrow pointing down a hallway inside this new dark-stained wood room.
Are they okay?
Turns head to one size, and then says, you know, trying to do no. I guess it does two flickers or something. Mm-hmm. I didn't quite get out.
What do they need?
This flame then sort of, which one of you has a visible weapon, Fasole? Do you have the hammer on you?
It's not a weapon.
And so, oh, that's right. Of course. I apologize. Yeah.
I guess my gun is in my bag, so not visible.
Yeah, so it makes, you know, not knowing that whether it's a weapon or not, makes the silhouette of a hammer and starts.
Oh, he wants to murder her. Okay.
Ah, how barbaric. With a hammer. A tool, not a weapon.
Yeah, so it flicks out to agree with you. You know, the room flicks out and it's dark. And then when it flicks back on again, there are two glowing eyes inside a figure with very large hands, which is standing right next to all of you.
I knew this was going to happen at some point. I'm so excited. I say that.
Oh, you say that? Just.
I knew someone would be standing here one of the times the lights came back on. This is very good.
The thing is, it stands there about 10 feet tall. It has a very large head. It has two glowing eyes. It has very large hands, which seem to be sort of end in claws, and it's got very large feet. It seems to be dressed in rags that are made out of what look to be the same dark rotting wallpaper that's all around you in this darkened room. And it is breathing very slowly. Like a...
Hello, friend.
Do you have a breathing disorder that with which you need help? We may be able to help you.
Yeah, like you need a CPAP machine?
This is what, well, it's in a sort of quasi-historical times, so.
A pneumatic breathematorium.
Yes, yes.
We could just boil a little water on the imp and you could sort of inhale the vapor. It's very good for the lungs.
Is this thing obviously like a scary monster, Ethan? Like, should we be intimidated or, you know?
I mean, I think that if you were intimidated by the giant on the episode one when you met one of the haunted house workers, the giant coming out of the big door, I believe DC Epines was quite frightened by it coming out So I think that Beans is definitely frightened by this. I'm not sure about the rest of the characters. You guys can all, or y'all can roll for that if you'd like to, or just make that call.
Beans is frightened by no one, being a trained unnaturalist. Definitely afraid.
I have a question. Do I also have any alcohol in my healing pouch?
I mean, you've got rubbing alcohol.
Excellent. I would like to make a cocktail and sit with this large shadow figure and for a round of mountain grog.
That is going to be a gruesome cocktail.
Mm-hmm. I had another option and I went, no, this one's way, way more fun.
So for the power for the alienist vocation has the power round of mountain grog, which you can sit with someone, share a drink, and ease their troubles. The more people, the higher the cost. So let's see. You would need to burn one of your silver coins if you have one, because there is one person. And then you. But first, I think you need to proffer and ask. So yeah, you can try this out. I don't think that rubbing alcohol in this world has the whatever feeling it has in our world that makes you instantly throw up from it so that people can't make alcohol from it. So
sip and sure. Blizzard.
But I assume it's like really strong alcohol, right?
Really, like, really strong. I mean, if this is from your healing kit, that's going to be what, like,
it's all I've got. 90 We're working proof? With what we have.
That's what you got.
You have it or you don't. And that is how I operate. So
it's much better that you didn't ask anybody else for alcohol in the group. So much better.
Well, I thought about it and then I decided I didn't care. So
Yeah. Any alcohol that the three of us come up with would not be safe for human or most consumption.
That's very true.
I love rancid berries, so.
Oh, actually, all of you might want to try this.
Ethan, how does this playing out? Is the ghost like watching Bessemer make a cocktail and we're all just kind of cracking wise and the ghost is like, or is it like attacking?
It is standing there doing nothing except breathing with its glowing eyes. It is not necessarily, I will say it might not be a ghost because it is material. It is not translucent. It doesn't have the sort of optical effect glow that ghosts tend to have. It could be, but most likely it is not. It is most likely standing there.
So I now have 159 silver.
You can, if you want to, with that amount, you could probably make one for everybody here.
Yeah, I'd like to make a bloody gut-ripping cocktail for everyone here.
Well, guess what? You're all about to gain a little bit of grit. It is standing there. It doesn't seem to be curious. Also, it is just literally standing there breathing with these great lungs. And the flame doesn't seem to be perturbed by it at all. It's also sort of sloped over. Its hands are like this. It doesn't seem to really be made out of flesh.
The ask that I proffer, the ask, as I awkwardly try to decide if I'm going to try and hand it like a thing to hold and if it will hold on to that or not, or if I'm just going to tip it.
Do you pass it around to the group first?
Yeah, everyone's got them, and I'm, like, trying to help them cheers with us.
All right, hang on. I gotta take everything out of my rib cage first.
Okay.
I immediately spill it and start licking it off the floor. Okay.
I say, make eye contact or it's unlucky.
Actually, you said you're licking it off the floor?
Yes.
Roll a will check for me.
Oh, great.
Great.
Uh-oh, that's, you weren't allowed to eat the house.
Well, no one tells me anything. 3.
Yeah, so you lick up the alcohol, and it tastes just as, you know, firecracker as you thought it was gonna. As, you know, everybody starts, I guess, like, doing a little bit of small talk, and gaining, I think, based on your level, two grit per person for this. As you're sitting there also, Beans, you are starting to see something almost like, there's something there that you couldn't see before. Like, what's the word for it? In a movie, like when there's cross dissolve and sort of something is like interposed on something. Yeah, you're thinking, oh,
like
this
I'm
is...
tripping?
Like, no, like when your mom like exposed film multiple times. She ran the film through the camera multiple times when you were young.
And you ended up with photos of two different
of you superimposed over Sturkis. Yeah, so 90s.
Creepy. Did your mom work for Canon?
Thank God my mom did not work for Canon.
Do I regain two grit, though?
You regain two grit.
Okay, but I'm tripping.
Yeah, you're tripping. You're like starting to see there's something about the wallpaper that is really fucking you up. It's like it doesn't like, and this creature is wearing the wallpaper too. Like there's something about the pattern that seems to be like, it's kind of an after image.
I try to warn the group that we've been drugged and to watch out, but I think all that comes out is wallpaper.
Yeah, Fasole is dipping one of his sticks of dehydrated fire into the alcohol, which, of course, lights it on
fire. Burns it on fire, so now you've got a nice flaming cocktail.
Exactly, yeah. And sort of takes a bite, takes a sip, and says, Beans is right, that's some good shit.
I guess I drink it. Doesn't it just pass through me?
Yeah, you can enjoy the experience if your character does, but it'll pass through your...
So it also falls on the floor.
Yeah, it'll fall on the floor.
Beans, if you need a second one.
Gross.
I don't know how to communicate in this state, perhaps, but I'm trying to like enter the new wallpaper zone. Like I think I'm swimming like in Mario, but how that would look when a skunk is doing it.
So like a ripoff Genesis.
Is the non-ghost very physicalized wallpaper being reacting?
Yeah, the creature is looking at you all and like, you know, looks at Beans and like is nodding like, yeah, and then takes a sip of it and is thinking, and lo and behold, a little bit of the rotting wallpaper on it sort of like, you know, it stitches itself up just a little bit. Some of the rot on the wallpaper is putting itself back together. It's, you know, whatever awful, I don't know, floral or calico pattern. What's a really off-putting kind of wallpaper? Calico. We're going to say calico. And calico off-putting. It's a calico wallpaper, and it's starting to resolve itself back into, like, out of rotted rags into, you know, itself. And it says, ah. And it blinks, and as it's blinking, you know, images start forming on the walls, like its eyes are starting to project, and it turns and it starts lumbering down one of the hallways, you know, projecting images.
Just fascinated as a body witch, mind healer. I'm just like in absolute nerd ecstasy right now. I'm like, my jaw is on the floor, not literally. I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like if I was at my first dissection as an anatomy student, like just absolutely in it.
Are you going to follow?
Yes, no question. I'm very, very excited.
You're listening to the Questing Network, the House of Eves, a playcast of the Sometimes Kingdom RPG.
To get exciting early access to the Sometimes Kingdom and support our many genre chainsawing games, head to patreon.com/stillfleet. It starts lumbering down one of the darkened corridors, lighting it as a go with its big eyes, like stomping on the floor, and you are following after it. Beans, you are looking at the patterns, and you are seeing in your altered state that the patterns of the wallpaper are following after them.
They're not playing with me. They're following the others.
They're following. Yeah. They are following. They are following this creature, and they are following now Bessemer walking through.
Do they seem okay? This is a strange question. Are the patterns in the wallpaper related to the creature? Like, are they one and linked? And are they all the house?
It is the same pattern. They're both the same thing.
So it's all just we're interacting with the house right now. It seems
quite possibly.
Still not sure what it wants with Arson, though.
Yeah. Come back!
So, Beans, you are seeing the pattern of the wallpaper follow it through. In addition to the wallpaper, and you don't know if this is happening or not, but you see, it seems like the wall around it is sort of folding itself up, like revealing more rotted planks behind it, and just sort of like going into the hallway with this creature. Like, whatever section of this house is just trailing along behind it.
Is that causing any structural problems, or just it's weird looking?
Yes, it is. It is starting to pull away the floorboards and the sides of the walls.
Oh my god, it's load-bearing wallpaper.
It is indeed load-bearing wallpaper. It is also taking away chunks of the masonite or whatever drywall there is the plaster and the lime, that whatever house part that you have found yourself in is following with the creature. I should also mention that aside from whatever lights you have on you, this flame creature, this imp, follows along in like a nice little train. There's the monster, there's Bessemer, and then there's the flame, leaving you in increasing darkness in this area, which is rapidly seems to be deconstructing.
I have an important question, and it is, we are in a ballroom.
Yeah.
And parts of it are falling apart.
Yeah.
Do we get a Phantom of the Opera style chandelier fall?
Mm.
Well, now that you said it, of course.
Does an organ play first?
I think that there's been organ music. I mean, there's been organ music playing in my head, like there always is.
Right.
So
there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, there's okay, so there is a loud crash as some far away in the ceiling, falling down is a bizarre and large chandelier, and that chandelier is also covered in the same dark stain that's on the floor and that's on the stairwells and some of the accoutrement in them. It falls with a crash. It doesn't hit anybody, but it is now blocking the way in between. You will have to go around it.
Very troubling.
From somewhere far off, an organ chord plays.
Bum, 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 bum.
All right, you know what? I'm going to go get Arson, okay? I know there's some other stuff. I'm just going to, like, walk out. I'm going to find her, and then we'll try to, like...
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think Bean says to her suit, that's a great idea, but it comes out as, like... I also think Beans is trying to talk to the house not to go, and realizes this is, like, an apocalyptic architecture fail. And in his head, I think it's whatever the early modern equivalent of the I don't want to leave you Aerosmith song in the Asteroid movie.
That was a really great cascade of references to something like alluding to it.
Yeah, like, Beans has eaten mushrooms before. He lives in the woods.
I don't wanna if he's rancid.
Yeah, I don't want to. But what I'd like to do mechanically is it possible to roll reason to figure out what the hell, like basically, are we in danger either accidentally or on purpose from the house or from something else? Because it feels like there's levels of spookiness, and I guess I'm trying to figure out now that we've met like the avatar of the house.
Yeah,
yeah, like. What is going on? Because if it's leaving and it's going to physically kill us just by walking away from us, like, is that a flex or is that just a weird accident? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, to sort of understand metaphysical architecture of this room.
It would be like an investigator to be wrapped up in details like that, wouldn't it?
Yes, and singing Aerosmith, which is one of the first things they teach you.
Famous French band Aerosmith.
I think. Let's see. If you're on this thing, I would like you to roll a will instead of reason for this.
Is there any way to make it a reason check? Because I'm trying to use the power deduce what you say, which actually I think would be
deduce you say. Yes, in that case, go for it.
Detail.
Go for it.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, this is an extreme, like you are fighting to make it reason through the fog of this.
Yeah.
I'm going to allow it because as have you spent some time as a skunk and clearly have eaten rancid hallucinogenic berries and mushrooms. Maybe as a detective, but definitely as a skunk.
Well, I'm specifically focused on the architecture part, which was why I would think it would make sense because I'm not asking,
Roger.
I'm only looking at the wallpaper I'm trapped in. So I'm burning a point of grit, which gives me +3, which is the unnatural stability that you're really good at. Science basically, but like this sometimes science. So I'm rolling a d12 +3, so this is like my good thing I'm good at. 4 + 3 is a 7.
So yeah, so you are focusing on, so it is not flexing, but you are definitely in danger, partly from the architecture collapsing, partly also as the house, this is where it gets a little into the weeds. So bear with me. I'm gonna try and say a thing in my notes. Let's see. as the house is
into
moving,
the weeds to find the thing.
Duke going in the weeds to find the plot. Into the the plot which has gotten away from him. You are trying to deduce. It is not a flex, it is an accident that you are in danger. The house thinks that it is being helpful by taking you to where you need to go. However, in vacating the space, this other structure of house is still there, and you are in danger not only from the architecture itself sort of following and collapsing in its wake. It is also leaving something else exposed, something which it may or may not be aware of. In addition to house, there was also something within the house, something that is of the house.
Into the woods to visit trauma.
It is the charred remnants of another structure. You are awesome. On the first floor. Yeah, it is flooded and charred Icarus. It is whatever is being left behind is almost like the wood stained wet version of the house. Much larger, and it's it wasn't there before. This is not where the House of Breeze is. This is something else. And in moving away, the house is leaving this sort of like shadow structure behind. And it is not happy.
Like, it's had the covers taken off of it at night. It's not nice.
It's somewhere between that, or it's like, instead of, it's like when you turn the lights on and the set disappears, if you turn the lights off and then the set is somehow exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Turn off the dark. There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
And no one can sing a single song from that show, because I guarantee you none of us
nice
know.
Nice city, I'll take it. Barbara!
Yeah, I mean, no.
Come on, it's Julie Taymor. People died back.
Is there any way to communicate this with the party, or am I unable to speak? Because
that's on you. I think that you're able to, if you want to, at great, great sort of psychological cost, get through just the screeching that you're having. If you are trying to say something to them, they're still in shouting distance. They haven't moved so far away that they can't hear. Yeah.
No, I just try to. I think because Hirsute and Bessemer kind of left, right? So I think I'm trying to kind of reach Fasoli.
Yeah,
which is crazy because I would love this.
Yeah, but it basically the first person, I'm like running up to Fasole or swimming up on the floor, and I'm trying to say, I think I just now sound like a Muppet skunk.
I think Fasole is sort of retreating from the collapsing structure, particularly after the chandelier, and just sort of picks Beans up by the scruff and says, we've got to go!
Yes, I know. Now I know the house doesn't know there's another house.
Another house?
There's something wrong with the architecture, and the house may not be aware that there's a problem here that of a magical nature, which we must... Oh my! Why did I drink that thing off the floor? We must solve.
I drank it out of a glass.
Good for you. Huzzah. We have other things to do than brag about our drinking abilities.
It's the same thing.
Humanoid body plan.
Well, Beans, how do we tell the house that the house is collapsing because the house is inside the house?
Try words or maybe a picture. Bessemer tried singing. It seems to like singing. Maybe she can sing again?
Maybe the house needs to collapse. Have you ever thought about that? Just yelling that from over here while I'm walking away. Just, hey, maybe the house needs to fucking collapse. I don't know.
Just let it all come crashing down.
My brother makes a point.
I think there's an issue here with consent. If it knows, if it's choosing to collapse and we just die by accident, then that sort of sucks for us. But I like guess good for the house that it recovered its mojo. But if it does not know, and this is sort of an ailment or disorder, perhaps, again, Bessemer, who seems to be good at singing, healing magic, could at least give it some options as a good physic or empiric would. You know, maybe I can lance your metaphorical boils. This sort of thing, yes?
I want to do a reason check because I think I would be, like, wheel spinning, like, as it's happening, you know? Yeah. So that's a 12. Let's see. 12, baby.
So yeah, you are skipping along, metaphorically or literally, I don't know. Inside your pack is a cowering, exhausted paper towel friend, and you have not been listening to the sort of like little murmurs of just like, like, gotta just organize again, not gonna think about it. But you know, as you're walking along, you know, you hear behind you like the clack, 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 and this lights of this creature's eyes are flickering. And then the light of this imp, this flame which you have befriended is flickering as well. And then you sort of stop and you realize that behind you, those sounds and some of the images that you're seeing are not lining up. The clapboards, and the sort of like the wood paneling on the floors and the stuff, like it is the sound of an area sort of folding up and clatter, moving along with. So even though you can't see like behind this imp, you're hazarding a guess that like, oh, this is somehow part or essence or avatar of this house, and it is leaving something behind, meaning that not only are the people behind you in danger, but there really shouldn't be anything behind it. So what is there if the house is moving with you guys?
Well, right, and where is it going, and where is it coming from? This is all very exciting. Does it feel familiar at all?
It does, and I'm going to say that since you rolled the 12, when you rolled a brain candle, or when you cast brain candle and were inside the mind of the house, you encountered one door covered with the same Icarus dark liquid that was in underneath you in the House of Eves, the basement. And you realized while you were in there, you sussed out that it had the smell and feel of a wood stain, that sort of Icarus, this pungent liquid. And that's that feeling of that wood stain, that dark, like something wrong, something scarred, that flooded sort of like waterfall of the door itself when you were trying to ease its conscience or ease its mind or whatever was wrong with it. That same stain is a stain that you've encountered around the house, and the stuff that is being left behind seems to be coated in it. Seems to be some sort of structure covered in this handsome dark wood stain.
Interesting. And have I ever encountered any material like this before?
With the 12, I would probably say that you have remember reading something like a long time ago, like one of the bog witches that like trained you back when you were like getting your medical education. Somebody had at some point mentioned something about the different kinds of liquids that can be used for possession of the old school, the kind that like are very, very forbidden and illegal now, but one must always be on the lookout for. And it was like something. From the heart of the something something tree, blah blah blah, found in the northern regions of Copia, used in structures something something, had been banned several hundred years ago for its deleterious effects. Meanwhile, the sound of organs in the background, the clattering of clapboards, the crashing of a chandelier behind you somewhere, and the flickering of lights, which may or may not be a projector.
And presumably, Fesole and Beans are like kind of screaming, cartoon running away from the collapsing darkness.
Yeah, your running is also like it's getting slower, like a dream, like you're trying to catch up.
Well, yeah, what I imagine is that we're sort of trying to chase this personification of the house, this monstrous personification of the house.
Yes.
Around which there is a calm bit as everything else around it in front and behind is collapsing. So we're trying to stay in the circle. Yeah.
I have a question for...
Yes.
For third sight, it's D6 mm-hmm. grit. Do I roll or do I...
Yes. You roll D6 for it.
I roll a d6, and however much grit it is, that's the cost. Okay, this is hard because this is very exciting, but it's also very high stakes. And my friends / acquaintances are in trouble, and so is
Pursuit. It's like, whoa, friends, let's hold up here.
Yeah, and I get that. That's why I went and or acquaintances. and best of all, that doesn't bother. He's fine.
I'm just saying, it's been hours. We've known each other for hours. Yeah. Like, not days.
Right.
Just
well, new best friends.
Trauma bond. Trauma bonded.
Anyone could have. We are the three best. Okay.
I'm saying it hasn't even been that traumatic, actually.
I wouldn't say best friends. I would say we're friends.
I want to use third sight, but I don't think I can right now. So instead, this is fucking killing me. I realize that I have to turn around. And go back.
You could also ask for help with the spell.
Yeah, but again, like, no, at this point, I don't think that's actually going to be the most beneficial thing. So I turn to the imp and I go, can you look after him for a minute? And I just walk past back to everyone else. I leave the imp taking care of the fucking house shadow demon.
Possessed. Yeah, the giant house entity sort of like looks with his glowing flickering eyes, like, and then up at the imp, and they're just sort of they stand there for a moment.
I will be right back.
the house creature starts moving forward, and the imp is sort of like, you know, actually, it is temporarily listening to the flame friend imp for the moment.
Okay, I run back and I go, guys, I don't think it's very good. And I relay the information that we just got.
About the resin.
Yeah, I was like, listen, okay. I was reading out back in the day and there's this stuff. It's not good. And I kind of explain that, like, that whole, like, this idea of leaving behind and what shouldn't be left behind. And it looks like DCI Beans is picking up what I'm putting down.
We're all in the same place, and we're all now aware that the house is not the problem. There's a problem in it, like, separate from the house, just as weird, but the house is not scary, right?
A meta house, and there's a resin that's right. The house is trying to escape, which is destroying the house.
A resinous meta house. Yeah, that's going to cost you a pretty penny.
Yeah, the resin is... Oh, I thought... Well, I understood it as resin is analogous to the outlawed mind control juice, right? That's all I got. Right. Okay.
It is a substance that is somehow present in whatever's left when the house moves away. There's something's been used.
And you licking the house was what fucked up Beans' mind.
Correctum anew.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, just licking the house.
Just licking the house. You got a little taste of that
of the resin. Taste of
that that wood stain.
Oh, so it's like someone poisoned the house? Is that what we think happened? Does Bessemer, do you know what's going on here?
Everything I know, I've told you. Cannot promise that I will not have another thought in a few minutes that I haven't told you yet.
Damn it, Bessemer, and your riddles.
I just meant it. I just really meant it.
I want to go outside and look for arson.
Okay, so you wanna go back the way that you came, up the stairwell, back up the dirt stairs.
Yeah, that's what I was like doing, way back. I guess like right after Beans started tripping balls.
Yeah, you can do that. It is pitch dark in the area where the house has vacated this structure. But, you know, if you've got a torch or some other means, or you just want to fumble through the dark, you can absolutely make your way back from whence you came. It seems like it is a one-to-one. You know, what is being removed has been replaced by the shadow version of itself. So you would know the way.
I can't just, like, walk through it.
You can walk through it. It'll just be dark.
Okay, cool. Walk, walk, walk.
Walk, walk, walk. In a moment, you will probably need to roll a move check. But, Fasole... What's up on deck?
I was going to use shoulder squat, which I used last session, but I won't use that yet. I think I will go to the personification and just sort of conversationally, with authority say, what is it that you're running away from?
The house looks to the imp. The imp looks back. He blinks, and when he blinks, you know, the blinding light of his, like, almost projector-like eyes shut off and turned back on. Almost like he's giving thought, shakes his large lumbering head, is like, no, like, not running away. Like, in points, like, you know, going to.
I see. Well, what are you going to?
He looks again to the flickering flame, briefly looks at the house structure, the personification, and briefly, he doesn't have the helmet anymore, right? He's just a flame guy. You took the helmet.
I've taken the helmet, but I'm holding it at my side because it's still very hot.
So the flame imp leaps inside the lumbering entity. And very briefly, you see that his glowing eyes like flicker like a projector, and then it is blinking, and so they are having great trouble with this. They're shaking and lumbering, and they're sort of like howling as they're trying to figure out this internal like shakeup. Everything's sort of rumbling, and then it resolves itself, and it blinks, and it puts its eyes against one of the wallpapered walls, and there is a binocular projection of a viewpoint, and they are pointing. So you are seeing again a movie, only this time it is a lot better. It seems that working with the house, they're creating like a better image of what's happening, and you see a viewpoint moving through many, many, many different rooms of the house. It's zooming in, it's zooming through the darkness, and then suddenly, in this very sort of dramatic Tim Burton-y kind of way, like resolves itself against a stairwell and a door behind the stairwell. And there, you know, the door opens up, and there is a flood of this black liquid. This dark gray liquid is coming out of it, like streaming and pouring. And then it like sort of shudders and it shuts its eyes.
So is it like brown instead, or what?
It's like a dark gray. It's like a really like it's like a wood stain that is like, you know when furniture isn't black, but it's like that dark gray. It looks really old timey. Really,
well, it's like the color of a lot of blood, right?
So also the color of a lot of blood when it dries. That's very astute.
So I think with that sort of disturbing image, Vasole sort of says, well, on your way to the ocean, you're falling apart. And just picks up, I think probably the board that he had taken off and then put back earlier, and just picks it back up, and it's broken in half.
So, you know, you hand it to, the structure who picks it up, looks at it and drops it, and it, you know, snaps back in place instantly onto like where the floor should be if a panel was like that, and looks behind it, and then, starts, you know, goes like this. Like, you know, just follow me, doesn't say it, but just like sort of, and it starts lumbering very, very swiftly down the corridor, you know, with the imp now outside of it again, like running afterwards.
And then I assume everything is falling apart.
Oh yeah, 100%. As it's taking stuff with it, like the hallway is now falling apart.
I think Vasoli was taking his hammer out to start helping and was like, oh no!
Are you trying to do emergency repairs like as you go?
And like, badly, yeah. I mean, I'll roll something for
tonight
it.
On this old house, we're going to be repairing this house very quickly.
Actually,
that's a great
you know what?
Logic to that.
That is exactly what Vesma does. She goes, tonight on this old house, we're going to be... And she just starts, like, doing this weird musical improv comedy about everything that...
Wow.
Could be staying in place instead of.
So is Bessemer? Are you running in pace with Vasole, trying to keep up with this creature as it like the house dims behind it?
I'm standing in one place. I don't move.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah.
I'm very powerful.
So the situation has gotten real intense for Bessemer. So her suit. Make me a move check.
No, I got a one.
You got a one. Yeah. So on your way walking, you trip over a chandelier, you bang into a side with a clatter.
Blame Sia for that shit.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you are stumbling. It is rough going. Take one damage. But you are slowly making your way back to the same place. Oh no, a Nick.
Oh wait, does my armor don't I reduce it with my armor?
Yeah, what kind of armor do you have?
I got a vest.
If it's a vest, so the your vest has taken one damage. If it is sail armor, then it is going to take a couple more hits and then be no good. You're every time you hit it, there's like a clong. Maybe a little spark comes out if you hit it with a piece of metal. But you do not take damage, and you find your way to the dirt stairwell as you make your way out.
All right, now where's Arson?
So now, outside where you are, there doesn't seem to be anybody there. In fact, the entire this courtyard area of the plaza seems to be deserted. You don't see the actor, you don't see Expanine. You don't see the ghosts who were threatening a walkout. Not this very day.
And what time of day is it?
I would have to go back. Let's just say it's night, because that's cooler. I don't remember what time you started this campaign.
I guess I'll walk to Arson's office, then we pass an office or something, or yeah. Wherever you go get the tickets.
So, yeah, you pass by there, and, you know, the door is shut.
I kick the door down.
You kick the door down?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Arson sitting in her behind her desk, and you know, she has got like a stack of slips and papers and sheaves and is looking through skull, and she looks up and she says, "What the hell do you want?"
Okay, so we have found the missing crew members. I took them outside, and I believe they already talked to you, so I assume that they're gone.
But- oh yeah, they did. Yeah, we've evacuated the whole area.
Yeah, so the house, they talked about the house being evil or whatever.
I'm sorry, house being evil.
It's like moving and shifting.
The house is moving.
And shifting.
Well, you know, she peeks outside of her office and looks and she's like, "That which house? They're all..."
On the in, like, on the foundation and underneath.
It's moving.
Yeah. Also, it seems to have played a video. I think it's either obsessed with you or something.
I'm sorry. I'm confused. It showed you images of me?
Yeah, this is like a flirting versus sexual harassment thing, I assume. Yeah.
That's highly unlikely. But
it like show it summoned an imp and it showed a video of you in a ballroom.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so you remember flirting with a house.
I wasn't flirting with it. That's... Oh, boy. Oh, so it showed you... Did it show you anything else about the ballroom? That's,
Oh, there's a tall guy.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Does she hear, like, us, like, in this, like, rumbling, falling apart ballroom, just yelling, "The ballroom's falling apart!"
It's like, yeah, a smash cut two, and then back again.
I guess, like, go break up with it, or tell her you're not interested, or if you want to fuck a house.
No. I did not, wow, this is all a lot to take in. All right.
But presumably, once you get involved, you will solve the mystery of that.
Oh yeah, I'll solve it. You got it right there. I'll solve this right now. I'll solve this immediately. And she, you know, reaches behind her desk, you know, pulls out like from a red drawer, pulls out a scepter.
She pulls out 38 special. Like, what did she do?
That would be. I feel like a scepter with a quartz sphere on the top of it is like the equivalent of a 38 special here.
She's like, gonna shoot the house.
Yeah, she's like, "Oh, we're gonna..." Yeah, so she's like, "Oh, well, this, you know," she turns to her suit and she says, "Okay, well, you know, none of this happened, obviously. This has all been a huge misunderstanding. You know, what a thing. I've got a bunch of ghosts to fire."
You didn't dance with the spirit of a house?
No, absolutely not. You're fired, and I'm gonna go fire a bunch of ghosts, and then I gotta go take care of something. Hold on. Okay. She walks out the door, fired? Like, stomping down the, like, you know, outside of her office, holding this zephyr.
I follow her.
I think you hear again, like from very far away, "Do you think they'll pay us if the house falls down?"
"No, I think we'll be dead, and hopefully they'll pay our next of kin."
I'm continuing to sing narrations of what
while it all comes down around you. Yeah. Just saying, all right, well, you know, I suppose if you're a licensed adventurer, I can't technically fire you, but this has gone on too long. I've indulged this, you know, it's, you know.
Indulged what? Were you flirting with a house this whole time? What the fuck?
Wait, hang on. Flirting with a house?
What are you doing? Like, what was going on with the house?
There was an agreement put in place. This is, everybody's reneging on everything. This is terrible. I gotta go fire some ghosts.
Wait, if you dance with a house, it'll give you special treats? Like, what do you mean?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
His voice for long enough.
You're getting hoarse, yeah. She stops short, and, you know, and she's sort of like, she's holding the scepter, and she's sort of like, it's clear that she's summoning some sort of, like, thing into it. It's, it's starting to glow in a classic fantasy tropey sort of way. You know, just like it's quartzite, good for demolishing structures. This is, you know, look, this was a handshake agreement. This was all supposed to resolve itself. You know, this is what you get for, you know, she gets so mad that like her hair actually starts like flaming on the top magically. It's just like, I told them that we should just automate this whole thing, but no.
Well, I feel like automation is part of the issue.
You might be right, you might be wrong. All I know is that hiring ghosts has been nothing but trouble. And now with them sort of threatening this walkout, I thought we would just default back to what we were planning on in the first place. Just, we'll have some great haunted houses, there's nobody running them, just the haunted houses doing their thing, everybody's ooky spooky. You know, they had to bring in actors and professionals and make it be lived in, like, be more experiential, whatever that means. It's getting expensive and it's getting complicated.
It really doesn't seem like it's the ghosts that are the problem. It seems like it's the foundation of the actual, like, houses. There's the problem. It has nothing to do with the workers, honestly.
She says it has everything to do with the workers.
Unless you bound the soul of several workers into the foundation of the house in some sort of sick sacrificial thing.
She gets really, really quiet and stops as she's walking and looks down at the scepter and then looks at you again. And points the scepter at your chest, and she's like, "You know, this conversation didn't super happen. I think maybe we can agree on that."
It's more me admonishing you than a conversation, honestly. More like a scolding or something.
I guess there's no need to. I guess roll for initiative.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, what kind of tag does this scepter have?
You would know that scepter has an autumn tag to it.
Fuck, I think that's the one I don't have. Yeah. So roll initiative. Yeah. Oh, I got 12.
You have the first move.
Let's fucking stab. All right. There are two short swords. Burn 2d4.
You're like, you have been annoying me for literally hours. I can't take it anymore. No one has suffered this much.
Well, she pointed the scepter at me, and that's probable cause or whatever.
Absolutely. You call
it. It is a scepter's a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can be many things. It definitely, she can't be like, oh, I'm.
If you're in a world with magic in it and someone points a scepter at you, you assume that there's going to be a magic ray coming out of it.
It's more the tone of how she said the other stuff.
Yeah, so I spent 4 grit. So yeah, I'm using the move. So I am a needle, and a needle is an assassin, a thief with manners, a wielder of small and sharp things. And, you know, there's no, like, special steel move, but I can do a few things, such as I can vanish into the air or void around me. And I can also do something called stab strop, which is I double attack with short blades. So, out of my, like, the back of my ribcage, it's like, they're, like, interlaced with my ribcages, but my ribcage bottom, like, the back. So I just, like, pull them out from there. Alright, so I'm basically trying to get her hand. Mm-hmm. So I'm using, stab strop to attack twice, so I'm rolling 4d8, keep the lowest. And let's see if this works. So that's a 7, 7, 6, and 3. So one stab is a 7 and 1 is a 3. So 3 to hit and 7 to hit.
So you're trying to disarm her immediately. So that's a 1 and a 5.
Okay, so the first hit actually gets her. And I guess you want me to roll for damage then, or
go for it.
That is 5 damage.
So you deftly and expertly you know, pull out both of your knives and in a 1-2 slice attack her wrist. And it slashes right through the first, in quotes, like, level of enchantment of her dress shirt. It stabs her in the wrist. And she is gripping the scepter. She, you know, one of her hands holding it, like, falls off as she's like trying to both, like, now wobble hold the scepter with one hand so that it's a 2-hand weapon, so it doesn't work so well. And, like, you know, trying to, like, I guess, like, nurse or hold the other one as you've, like, stabbed it and it's bleeding down her shirt.
Yeah, because if you're gripping the wrist, you're actually, like, increasing blood flow If you're gripping the scepter, you're like increasing blood flow to the wrist, and then like you're trying to like kind of making. I assume you're making like the blood spurt out more. I'm not.
Yeah, there's definitely it's getting on her shirt. It has ruined her grip on this scepter, and she is making the problem worse because she is not a fighter. Yeah. So as she's doing that, then she also then attempts to cast. Let's see. She attempts to cast beam. With this, burning tin grit, and let's see here.
Never bring a laser to a knife fight.
Yeah. <That's>
a... And Vapor fucking vaporizes me. She vaporizes me.
she definitely has a minus on her move right now after being stabbed and is not holding this weapon properly.
It's like with a knife fight, like don't get into a knife fight if you don't want to be stabbed because you're going to be stabbed. It's like, don't get into a laser knife fight if you don't want to be like disintegrated.
That's a four rolled to defend.
Yeah, that's I would have to roll very low. The seven.
Yeah. So she, you know, this energetic sort of projection of light and heat and liquid quartz energia courses out of this, but in the wrong direction, and you definitely move out of the way. It does not do any damage.
I'll have you know, I cannot yawn, yet you, I wish I could.
She is fucking like furious. She's like now holding her wrist. She doesn't realize that it's getting it much worse. She has sort of failed this check. And just like her hair starts burning like a brighter orange flame.
I'm sorry, I didn't even roll for the bleed. It's
D4. Oh yeah, go for it.
That's right.
It's hang on.
Let me just reread that. I should have actually put the description. Oh, here it is. It's three bleed. They have three bleed.
Three bleed. All right. So she is furious and is now sort of turning tail. But before she starts running, there's something going on with her physical form. It's turning sort of a translucent orange for a moment. And she casts an ex-journeyer spell, and in a flash and in a flare of cursing and a little bit of brimstone and a pile of leaves appear where she was before. She has disappeared from this spot.
I mean, I can do that too. It's just it's not that interesting.
That's illegal.
I was saying I can also do that. I mean, it's not that interesting. You don't need magic to do that, honestly. But you can't afford a car. You need magic to fucking transport.
That don't impress me much.
So you're facing her office. Let's see on the Chamber of the Seasons. You may or may not notice out of the corner of your eye that the ex-journeyer spell. This is not a place that she has traveled to before, so it's not knit. She is appearing, stumbling and bleeding, 40 yards away, at the door of the House of Breeze, and is just running into the front door of the Autumn House.
So, where's everyone else?
Everyone else is in the House of Breeze.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're still sort of like now, Fasole has joined in the like improv singing, like trying to calm this house down. Like, demons will charm you with a smile.
You mean angels? I'm not there, but.
Well, I'm an angel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, yes. Quiet.
I'm warding them away from demons.
Yeah, so I think at this point I'm gonna do another one of those. Oh wow, yeah. So you're actually still calming it down. It is not lumbering down, running away like it was. And it's as chunks of it are starting to fall around. And then down the hallway you hear from up the stairwell, you hear a "What the fuck are you doing in there?"
They're singing. Yeah. I think DCI means as an animal trapped in a falling, poisoned architecture. Don't fuck with that shit.
Yeah.
And I think as a woodland animal, I would just have run all of the way out of the house and would be running into whoever is entering the house as I'm trying to escape the twin horrors of poisoned anti-architecture and musical theater.
and it's many tediums.
No, you guys are great. Please keep singing. I just it's acting.
No, you're right.
So you bump into Arson as she manifests herself in another with another pop and an orange glow and a pile of orange leaves. She's right in front of you, and you like she tries to do that thing of where you move to the left and the right of somebody.
Does she look like the same civilian thespian whom I met earlier, or does she look like a dangerous wand waver?
She has got blood running down one hand. She is holding onto a scepter. She's definitely the person that you met before. She has a very furious, angry look in her eyes. Her hair is actually aflame.
I mean, it depends on how cop-brain Beans is.
Extremely yeah. cop-brain. Beans is
so you yeah, shoot Beans her, obviously, yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
I mean, I think, well, no, I have to, I can't shoot her and warn her at the same time because I have to use my mouth to shoot.
Yes, you can.
Well, I would if I could, but I'm a skunk. So I think I yell, you know, freeze, and then try to get the Derringer out of the bag using my paws and my mouth.
You know, she says, no, that's the house behind us.
There's no time for puns, civilian. This is a dangerous zone. You must leave immediately. I am here for your safety. Also, maybe for other reasons, but why don't we leave the house?
At this point, like she's not pointing the scepter at you, but she is just sort of like, you know, trying to like really rudely, I should say, very in full violation of good manners, just sort of like trying to kick you as a skunk out of the way, just being like, out of my way.
Yeah, I think I would fire a warning shot. No, I don't know.
Don't shoot the house! Don't shoot the house! Yeah, shoot the house. See what happens. Do it.
Shoot the house.
No. Shoot the house. No, I pull out the grenade. I'm sorry, Ethan. I pull out the one raspberry grenade. I have a single raspberry grenade, so it looks like a large raspberry. And I pull the pin.
Raspberry grenade.
The raspberry grenade, the kind you try in a fecund land war.
Yeah, I.
I love that works with the song.
It works so good. I pull the pin and throw. I'm trying to hit her with a hot jam grenade so she is stuck and she mm-hmm. will, you know, stop waving wands and stop entering a dangerous house and whatever.
Stop bleeding.
Yeah, stop bleeding. Like this is this is to me a very logical use.
That
of,
is a totally logical use of a raspberry grenade.
Yeah.
Join us next time for the exciting continuation of The Questing Network, The House of Eves. The Questing Network is based on The Sometimes Kingdom by Ethan Gould, adapted for audio by Ethan Gould and Erica Simpson, and The Sometimes Kingdom RPG by Ethan Gould and Wythe Marshall. To learn more about this plucky retro fantasy game and other exciting games using the Grit system, head to stillfleet.com and follow us at Stillfleet on all social media. For a full list of our performer and creator social media handles and other projects, visit stillfleet.com/sometimeskingdom. The Questing Network is made possible through the generous support of the Council of Seasons. The Council of Seasons, supporting the Questing Network in good cheer betwixt the islands of Seasons Keep since 1383. And to listeners like you. Thank you.